Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
America, how are you this evening? And my name is Kenny Jones. Yes, Black Urban America comes on the air, a blog talk, and which is represented by We Talk Productions at 8 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday evening. On Saturday, We Talk Productions presents Provocative Thought with Carl Sneed, also at 8 o'clock p.m. Finally, We Talk Productions have a marketing partnership program for small business owners and self-employed people. We Talk Productions will assist you in marketing your product and service throughout this country as well as internationally. Tonight's topic, we're going to discuss the criminal justice system. What do you think? Do you think the criminal justice system is punishment or rehabilitation? When a person goes to prison, do they rehabilitate or be punished? What are some of the conditions in the prison system? You know what alarms me is that in 2008, African-American men made up 30% of the prison population, and we're only 13% of the national population. How can that be? In New York City, 80% of the stop and frisk were African-American men. Now, I tell you, I ask you, those are their numbers. These are not my numbers. These are their numbers describing how we are arrested often, aggressively. But when we go, what is happening while we are inside? Well, I have two guests on. One by the name of Kafu Shakur, and the other one, introduce yourselves, brothers. Good evening. How are you doing?
Peace, brother. Peace, brother. Peace, peace, peace. Peace, peace, peace.
Hello.
My name is Eternal.
Yes, you're on. I can hear you loud and clear. Now, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, Kafu, brother Kafu. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Kafu Shakur.
Kafu, okay.
I'm down here in Georgia penitentiary system, and I've been here almost 5 years, and I experienced some of the problems, I experienced some of the things that you're talking about. I was listening to you for a minute a second ago, and I'm kind of like, I don't know how to put it. I'm in this system, but I'm not in this system. You know.
Yes.
I experienced a lot of the stuff that you talk about. I experienced a lot of the guard brutality. But me and the brother were sitting here talking about, we wanted to explain to some of the people on the outside what's really going on the inside, because you know you guys probably just hear about it on the news and stuff like that, but we're actually in here and we actually see what's going on. Now the system is kind of like it's set up like this here in Georgia, at least. The guys on the inside of prison are actually not fighting for their freedom anymore. They're actually comfortable where they're at in prison now, and that's due to lack of education, lack of knowing who they is, and they just don't give up on life. This brother here, Brother Internal Science, he probably could break it down to you a little more. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Peace.
Peace, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Well, he was to build on with Brother Shaw.
And what is your name?
My name is Eternal Science.
Eternal Science. Okay.
Yeah, my name is Eternal Science.
Science. Okay.
Excuse me. I'm 33 years of age. I've been incarcerated since I was 23 years old. And prison, what I've learned in here is that, first of all, it's not no place of rehabilitation. That's the trickery or the tricknology that they have put out to those, in the free world, meaning it's correction, when there's really no correction because there's not enough actual programs inside of prison, you know what I'm saying, to actually help correct or rehabilitate, you see what I'm saying, the inmates that is in here, you know what I mean? The thing is that the majority are repeat offenders, you know what I'm saying, basically meaning that once we get back out into society, it's actually organized and set up for failure, you know what I mean? Like 90-some percent are actually repeat offenders. You see what I'm saying? But
why is that, brother? Why do you feel, brother Science, that there's such a high rate of repetitive offenders through the criminal justice system?
Let me answer that question for you. This is Kufu Shakur. Well, I think for me, I think it's like that because the system is set up for when our brothers get out of here. Most of these guys come to prison and they learn all these skills. They want you to drive these heavy equipment. They want you to do all this. But when you get out into the system, they want to give you a restaurant job. They want to give you a job where you're not capable of taking care of your family. And some of these guys that have 3 or 4 kids, when they get out of here, you know, they get their first couple of checks, $200 or $300. They feel less than a man. They go back to doing the things they was doing before they went to prison. I mean, before they went to prison. So what needs to be done is that we need to find jobs within our own community and black business owners that are willing to give these guys a second chance at being able to be men again. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of these guys don't feel like men when they get out of here because they don't have nothing to look forward to. You know, they get out of here, and like for me, for instance, I got out of here out of prison. This is my second time. I got out of prison last time, and I actually went to go get a job, and they were going to pay me $25 an hour. And I was happy. I went to tell my family, hey, you know, we're going to be good. But actually, when I went back to the meeting, the guy said, hey, listen, you got to come back in 5 years because you're a convicted felon. You know, and I didn't understand that because what makes me being a convicted felon? Everybody makes mistakes in life. Everybody makes bad decisions. But it don't take me 5 or 10 years to realize I made a bad decision or a mistake. So we just have to surround ourselves with people who are willing to give us another chance, those who want to do the right thing, because a lot of people here don't want to do the right thing, but there's a select few people that really want to change their life. Like my brother here, he's building on some other stuff to benefit himself. He's not waiting for nobody to help him out, and that's what we need. We need resources, and we need people to say, look, we're willing to give you guys a second chance and for you to be men again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you said that there are a lot of people on the inside that are not serious about trying to do the right thing when they get out. You said it's more of them and have few of you. Why do people lose hope when they inside? Like, why do they lose hope?
That's a good question. When you say why they lose hope, they didn't have hope when they came to prison. They started off, you know. We have to look at their mental state when they're on the streets already. You know, it starts from the home. It starts from the parents. It starts from all that stuff. You know, a lot of these guys don't even know who they are themselves. So, you know, they're trapped in this matrix where, you know, they're part of the system, and, you know what I'm saying, they don't know anything besides that. And until they start realizing who they is and what needs to be done to change the thing. Like they said, like the old saying is, everybody won't change, but nobody willing to take the sacrifice. You know, everybody's
right.
good talkers, but nobody's good doers. You know what I'm saying? So we just, it's a couple of brothers in here that we got together and we're trying to make something happen within the inside. But, you know, we're limited to what we can do ourselves because we don't have any outside resources, you know. And the brothers in here, these guys just came to prison without hope, you know. It's brothers in here that's getting ready to get out and don't know where they're going at. Don't know what they're gonna do, and that's set up for failure. The system is meant. It wasn't created for them to fail. It was built for them to fail. So I don't want people to think that the system has been made for the black man to fail. No, it was already built like this. So it's up to us to break this cycle of coming back and forth to prison. We have to surround ourselves with people who want to help us and people who want to see us succeed.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. What is the dominant population inside? Is it white, black, Latino? What's the dominant population inside?
Well, the dominant population is black on the inside. With a couple of prisons I've been at in Georgia, it's always been the dominant. White folks ain't really white folks in Georgia just started coming to prison when the meth came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When they started using this new drug, the meth, that's when they started coming to prison. Before then, it was way more black, but now they're starting to catch up with it because they're white trash also. You know, they look at them as white trash also. But the Mexicans and it's the population is like 80% Mexican. I mean, I say 60% black, 20% Mexican, 20% white.
Okay.
But the majority is black folks.
Yeah, it's that, at least why I asked, that's what the statistics said. Let's look at this. There's been a lot of, they say that there are corporations that are in the prison system and that the prison system is the new Jim Crow law. It's just a modern-day slavery. What do you say to that? I mean, aren't there different corporations like, you know, fixing laptops or desks or food services, what have you? You know, is that true? Is there a lot of different businesses or corporations that are involved with the prison system?
Well, to my knowledge, not that's actually, well, you know, the system is set up on, they're only going to give you what they think that you can have. Whatever they're giving us is not working for us. Anytime we try to do something outside of their boundaries of what they need to be done, they're always going to stop us. Like now, we're trying to start a class down here for men building class. Nothing religious, but things where men can get together and realize how to stay out of prison. They're not trying to give us the class because they said we have to have somebody come from the outside. They have computers here, but they're only teaching you the basic things that you learn in school. And what you have to understand is that the basic thing that you learn in school is what's keeping us held back, because most of the time you had a lot of young guys in here in prison right now, and most of these guys never graduated from school. They actually dropped out of school and graduated in prison. And people think getting a GED is actually moving ahead in life, where it's actually just the system telling you this is all you need to succeed in life. You know what I'm saying? So, no, we're not actually getting nothing that we need. You know, we got a few people got ways to get out there and communicate with people, but they're not doing actually anything for us on the inside of prison.
Why do you think, in your own...
Say it again.
Why do you think, why so many black men go to prison? Why is the law enforcement so aggressive towards us?
Peace. This is Akeem. And
Akeem?
I just want to ask you. It is Akeem.
Okay.
Okay, but I think that a lot of us, a lot of black men come to prison because it's kind of systematic. Like, they don't want us out there, you know, being leaders, being kings, alongside our women, raising our children. They want us in here because it gives them the opportunity then to imprint what they want. on our children's minds. You know, I have a son, he's 9 years old, and, you know, I'm kind of going through that myself. Like, I'm not there hands-on with him to teach him the things that I want him to learn. He's having to learn what, you know, what the system wants him to learn. And I think that's really why we're here, to separate us from our women, to separate us from our families.
Hmm. Wow. So let me ask you this. Are there a lot of black guards there?
Now, that's what I want to touch on, first of all. Of course, there's a lot of black guards here, but that's one of the main problems. Now, one thing is I'm being straight up now. I'm going to be straight up now. I've been to some prisons where we have white wardens at, and I've been to some prisons where we have black wardens at. And tell you the truth, I'd rather be under a white warden. You want me to tell you why? Because of my own people they oppress me more than the white men do nowadays. We have become our own enemy. You know, what the system have done now is we have more women guards than we have men. And the reason why they do that, because they know that our women are being mistreated by men on the street, so they put the women in charge of us so they can come in here and oppress us more. So it's like a struggle with us. They're putting our women in here to watch over us, and they come in here with an attitude already, because whatever's going on the outside, they bring it on the inside, and they're taking that on us. But, I mean, it's kind of strange how we can have a prison ran by black folks, and it's 10 times worse than a prison ran by white folks.
With a white
warden at, and he was letting me get everything I wanted. He would let me get I was getting state dinners and everything from the outside, my free world, my organic soap, my organic everything. But I come here now, I'm in a prison ran by a black administration, and they won't even talk to me. I mean,
wow.
It's hard to get in down here. It's kind of strange, because I would think that's why I in the last year I've been to 5 different prisons. But the simple fact is, I always get into it with administration about the oppression they're giving us through, and I always throw up in their face, look, brother, you're in a position to make a change. You know what I'm saying? You can help brothers out. You're in a position where you can help us better ourselves, but you're oppressing us even more. And it seems like they enjoy their job. They have to show their bosses, which is the white man, the white commissioners and these regional directors, they're trying to show them, yeah, I got these niggas under control. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's like. You know, it's,
wow.
It's like... It's,
hey, you would think... You would think that... If a black man's running a prison, he's a warden, and most of his inmates look just like him, you would think the treatment would be more just, or he would have a better understanding of what you need in order to be successful when you are released. But it's going on out here too. There are blacks that don't even want to do business with other blacks. Don't even want to shop with black shopkeepers. And look at our school system. We have black superintendents now. We have black principals now, and they run some of the most declining schools in this whole country. And I'm talking all up in the. I'm talking New York, L.A., Philadelphia. Houston. I talk about all the major cities in this country, and it's a shame. And it's a shame before the supreme being that we are almost as worse as white folks when it comes to treatment towards each other. And I find that horrible.
Yep, that's just like that movie Django, and when he was walking alongside a dude, he said the worst slaver is a nigger slaver. That's what we have now. We have these black men and even black women who have now took the role of enslaving their own people. You know, they're oppressing their own people. And it's crazy when for our people to think that the school systems, and nowadays I was talking to one of my friends the other day when we were talking about the school system, and we said that, you know, when you graduate 12th grade, people, when your child come on with an A1A, people actually think that, oh, my child is good. Oh, he's doing good in school. And that's not the case. When your child come home with an A1A, all that's saying to that parent is that they're giving your child enough information to where they think that you should make it in life with this information. That's why you have this after 12th grade, you have to go get your own learning. You know what I'm saying? Because when you graduate school, that's not an accomplishment to me. You know, so accomplishment is when you go out there and you build, because the school system is not going to give you what you need to make it in life. And most of these guys don't know that. Everything about this system, everything about America, is meant to withhold you back. And that's what our main thing is. We have to break this cycle some kind of way. We have to stop being activists. I like to say this word. We have to start being activists and start being doers. You know, there's somebody have to take the sacrifice, and you know, I'm trying to surround myself with people that's willing to take the sacrifice, and not only with their information, but because we were just talking about this, information is nothing. Information is nothing if you don't benefit from it. You know, so we can sit here and we can have this conversation all day long, and people can hear what's going on. But if we're not going to do anything about it, it's just information. You know what I'm saying? We have to benefit from what we're trying to do. We have to show people, like I tell people all the time, people don't listen to what you say anymore. They watch what you do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So in a system like we are now, we're just looking for some kind of resources, some people from the outside, where we can start something from the inside, because we can stand around all day long and tell the people, look, this is what y'all need to do. We got these people here. We do. They're not listening to us anymore, because we have to show them. So that's what we're hoping. We got some callers out there that's listening to that are calling and say, and actually want to know what we need on the inside, or what kind of resources they can help us with, where we can actually start building these classes and have people calling down here, letting these people know, hey, we care about these people. Hey, don't put your hands on these people. Don't do this and don't do that, because that's what people don't have in here. You know, they don't give up on their family. Their families don't give up on them. So, you know, I hope somebody that are listening that are calling and say, look, we want to help these people. We want to know what these people need. I don't care what it is. It's from legal aid. If it's just somebody to talk to let them know, hey, we need paperwork printed out, or we need you to make a phone call for us, any of that stuff. All that stuff is beneficial for us.
What's the name of the institution that you're in?
Say it again?
What's the name of the institution that you're in?
I'm at Calhoun State Prison in Morgan, Georgia.
Calhoun?
State Prison.
Calhoun. Oh.
Yeah, it spells Calhoun State Prison. Oh. And it's in Morgan,
right.
Georgia.
Morgan, Georgia.
And the warden down here name is Mr. Ford.
I'm going to change the direction of the conversation right about now. What do you think? Do you think that one reason that our families are being headed by women is 75% of our families are headed by women? Why do you think that men are not being more involved with their families?
This is Edison Cave again. I wanted to ask that question. It's really a lot of what's going on today is a direct result of Willie Lynchism. Like if you have read the Willie Lynch letter, Willie Lynch wrote a letter to all the white people saying that y'all control blacks for 3,000 years by taking the black man away from the head of the family and making the black woman the head, because the woman is already submissive. So Will Lynch, he told the rest of the whites that by making the woman the head, we can have a person at the head of the black family that is submissive. And I mean, it's a direct result of that. I mean, it's probably other ways can be explained, but to me, that's the root of the whole issue.
Okay, so, but, okay, there's a reason why I can understand why some families don't have the father there because they might be locked up. But how about the ones that are out there living around the corner, living down the road from their son or daughter don't even see? You know, what type of change do we have as men, as African-American men, what type of change that we have to do in order to get our families back as well as our community?
Well, see, that is cool for Shakur once again. To me, it's community building has to start with the family, first of all. I think that the reason why the system, like I always say, the system, America done a good job. I must applaud them on that. They done a good job at tricking us and with the trickery. But what I think about the men that's out there now, you know, it's a lot of good men out there, but you have to think about their state of mind. You have to think about where they at in life. People out there right now have so many stumbling blocks in front of them. They think about the cars, the women, the jewelry, the all this kind of stuff, and these are stumbling blocks from them looking at what's really going on in life. To get back with our family, we have to. If you have to look at what the system done to the parents, the system took away power from the parents when they gave the children the ability to pick up the phone and call the police and say my mother's father is beating my behind. I know when I was young, I got my butt tore up by everybody in the neighborhood. You know, there's certain things in the system that we're not allowed to do anymore. So. And then how the system implant different things in the neighborhood. You know, when these drugs are implanted in the neighborhood, these guns in the neighborhood, and all this different stuff, that all that stuff is put there to separate the family. Once you separate the family, once I come to prison, if you send me to prison, and then now my wife is out there without a husband, my child is out there without a father, my son tend to go to the streets looking for a father figure, and the woman tend to make all kind of excuses and call the father all kind of names in front of the child. So in the next 5 years, next thing you know, the father and son in prison together, and the mama's out there doing their thing. So the whole community is being broken up by what's been implanted inside the system. Hold on, Brother Akeem, want to say something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to say that as black men, we really have to start taking responsibility for our actions. Like we have to think of the consequences. Like what you do today determines where you are tomorrow. And knowing that, we have to do better. We got to educate ourselves on stuff that's really important. Start being enlightened instead of entertained.
Maybe. What percentage, I'm just wondering, what percentage of the population are gang members?
Oh, boy, good question.
I got a reason for asking that question. So take a stab at it. I got a reason for asking that question.
Okay, well, I'm going to let somebody answer that question. Hold on one second.
This is Akeem again. I'm a member of a revolutionary unit, but I would say for us, percentage-wise, under 30, 80%.
Wow.
80% of the guys under 30 are a member of some form of organization. And, you know, they like to use the term gang, street gang. You know, they have a negative connotation. They like to use those words, but, you know, I mean, I'm a member of a revolutionary unit, so... You know, we're not a gang. We are a unit. You know, it's you know, we founded on principles and morals. You know, that side of it isn't put out there, but that's, you know, what we founded on.
Well, you know that gang violence or violence committed by gang members or members of the organization is running rampant in a lot of black communities in this country. And they are, their members, if they last that long, are under 30. So, do you feel that these different enterprises are hurting our communities across the country?
Well, and yes and no. You know, when you look at it like this, most of the gang members actually started from Black Panther Party, and those gangs were meant to govern their own community. But you know, we have a new generation that's coming out that doesn't understand those principles and wasn't taught those principles. Then that's where you get the term gang members from. You know, it's a few guys in here I know that are part of some kind of organization, but they understand that what the organization represents. You know, some of these guys in prison don't understand that. They're just getting involved in the game because they need protection. They don't have anybody else to help them. So they come to prison, and, you know, it's a violent place, and they want to get involved in something for protection. So for those people that don't know the principles behind being part of any kind of movement, yeah, it's kind of tough on hold on. Brother Hakeem, want to talk to you one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go back on what you were saying about how the gangs are causing a lot of violence within our own community. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, the gangs and the organizations they used to be all Black institutions, and see, things like that scare the white man, so they would kind of infiltrated, and they will put false leaders in place to they led us into this direction of violence. You know, it's all in the rap music, gang, you know, like, and the kids, they're hearing this, and they really, you know, they just not finding their way in life, and they thinking, okay, well, I'm going to be like, I'm going to do what this rapper saying, gang, shoot them up, bang, not knowing that, you know, they hurting themselves. We killing our own community, and I mean, I think that's right. a direct result of just us being infiltrated. The once all black institution being infiltrated by the white man.
Let me. Yes, I agree. I don't know about the infiltration. I know in Nation Islam and NAACP, other organizations, yes, they were infiltrated. But I thought these gangs were started by Black young men.
Well, no, to my knowledge, most of the gangs were started by, you know, the Black Panther Party. But even the Black Panther Party was infiltrated by the FBI. And, you know, they were given drugs and guns because they knew that we would attach to the power of having money, the power of having these weapons, and you know, they played on our emotions and our wants and our needs and our desires. And the culture now that's coming up, the young kids, they don't see the stand against oppression. They don't see the civil rights activism. All they see is drugs and money and guns. So, you know, that's what they lean on. And that's what they promote. I mean, it's all in the culture of the rap music. It's a lot of things that kind of led to the negative impact of gangs and gang violence.
How about the crack epidemic, and now, well, it says the heroin epidemic now, but heroin been now since the 60s. Heroin was always in our communities. How about these hardcore substances that are plaguing our communities? How can we get from that? It's easy said than done. So what we need to do about, because it's like, well, let me ask you this. Are most of the prisoners, the sentences there where you are they drug related?
This is Cooper Shakur again. Well, you know, in Georgia State Prison, they have different levels of prison. You know, they got level 2, 3, 4, 5 prison. So where we at now, you have a people here with murder, people, it's all different kind of stuff. But the drug related have actually went down. People that's coming to prison for drugs, it's more people are now that the system is the the drug game is playing out now, there's more robbery, there's more aggravated assaults, there are more murders and stuff like that. So the prison that I'm at now, you have more violent offenders here.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
not too many offenders here.
Oh, okay. So what do you feel that the drug it was said on this documentary I was watching last week that on 60 Minutes, matter of fact, it was on 60 Minutes on Sunday, and the warden said that most of the prison facilities are mental health facilities and drug treatment programs now, since most of the offenses are drug related. What do you say to that?
I think that 90% of the people in prison are mental health. Actually, I think that 90% of the people are mental health. And I say that because of it's not because of how they act. It's because of their thought process. When you're trained and you're uneducated, you're actually mental health to me. You know what I'm saying? If I can have a decent conversation with you and build on something that's beneficial for the mind or something to help us get out of the situation or something, I call that mental health. The brothers I'm around, the like-minded brothers I hang around, we build all day. We're trying to find resources. We're trying to find ways out of prison. We're trying to find things to do. So when you speak of mental health, do you speak of it as in what the doctor would call mental health, or are you speaking of it as in just how people think nowadays? Because, you know, they can label you mental health and they can label you mental health because of how you acted and how you came up. But I label you mental health of your education, the education that you was given. If you're not educated and know how, or at least trying to be enlightened or trying to benefit, I call that mental health. Me personally, I don't know about the other brothers, but me, that's what I call mental health.
Okay. Well, only got about a couple more minutes. Would you like to say anything to the audience or people that are going to download the show?
You want to say anything, brother?
I'm going to keep it simple. This eternal science. I want to keep it simple. I want to keep it straight to the point that knowledge is the foundation of all things in existence. Okay?
Mm.
By knowledge being the foundation of all things in existence, we got to overcome and look toward the future and only learn from the past. You see what I'm saying? Once we actually learn knowledge of self and who we are as a nation of people in America, that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward, because at the end of the day, we can blame the European for what he did to us. Okay, we know that. We know our history, but guess what? Only those who are conscious and actually know who they is, which is knowledge itself. We have knowledge about everything else but ourselves. And I would like to tell the people that is listening that this is the most important thing. We have to learn the law. This is the reason while we are being incarcerated. You will never run into lawyers that are locked up. You know why? They know the law. Once you know the law, once you learn the law, you will never come to prison and be confined and being ruled by another human being. Can another human being do not have the authority to tell another human being what to do, period, regardless of what you did? I would like to say one last thing in conclusion. This is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Shell versus Cullens, 481-F945. This is law. For a crime to exist, there must be an injured party. One other thing is the IRS will tell you, this is the IRS, Internal Revenue Service will tell you, all crimes are commercial. This is business. This is business, what the Europeans are doing inside their courtroom, business. We have to learn business because we are being held by agencies, police, DeKalb County Agency, Fulton County Agency. These are people that are stopping us to do business with our names. We have to learn business. And once we learn law and business, guess what? We'll never be able to get locked up again.
That it's simple as that. If we refuse to learn law, it's upon every nation of people to know the law. Period. If you do not know the law, guess what? Another race of people want to rule you with the law. Period. Point blank.
And all that though, I have to go. I thank you, oh brother, thank you for coming on the show. And I will personally, plus I say I will try to contact a couple of people I know. Of course, I just moved into this area, but I will try to contact a couple of people I know. At least that could lead me to the direction that could try to get you some classes and resources in there. Okay? All right, Brother Shakur and Brother Science and
okay,
Brother
McKean?
A King,
A-K-E-M. It is a King.
All right. Y'all brothers have a good night and stay strong. And stay strong, my brothers. And keep your faith and your hope. And try to keep the peace in there. I know sometimes it's hard. All right? And I bid y'all
good
night.
You have a good night, too. Peace.
All right.
Thanks for the opportunity for letting us be heard.
No problem. That's a shame how they treat now men in prison. You do the crime, got to do the time. But while you do your time, why can't you get your diploma? Why can't you get a degree? I know 50 years ago you used to could do it. And why can't you get the mental health resources that, or the substance abuse counseling that you need? I don't know what's going on. All they just think of, like the brother said, it's a business. It's not a rehabilitation. It's a business. It's a business. And like the Rolling Hope, this is just modern-day slavery. Well, that's it for tonight. Remember,
hold it now.